It's 6 p.m. in Australia, and you're listening to Rick coming on to talk about whatever he wants to talk about. On Sunday, let's have a look here. It's the 25th of August, 2024. And he'll be talking about whatever he wants to talk about. So just with this introduction, I'll be letting him in the room. Here he comes into the green room, from the green room into the live studio, Mr. Rick. Hello, hello, hello. Thank you very much, whoever you were. Never have met you in my life. Never met you in my life. Welcome to, I don't know what we're going to call this. It could be Be Told. It could be Be Told. Hopefully, Vilisek can stick an introduction music in it. And I sent him one today, Be Told. It was the Mr. Blows by Blowing the, whatever his name is. Fantastic intro track. Very reminiscent of our wonderful introductions to the FART podcast that we did 52 episodes of a very good show, highly produced by Velocet, the wonderful producer with the Medusa, as I've always termed him. And I've just completed a show with the wonderful Dave J, one of the most fractious, aggressive, knowledgeable people on the planet. And I've dealt with a lot over my life, and he was one of the reasons I actually got on to Discord back in the day. Him and JLB, I have to hold those two up as they were the reasons I decided I need to come in here and say something. It wasn't so much I disagree with Dave, it was more some of the other person, but wonderful, polite person that he is, even though today they were having a conversation on the same time that we were meant to be recording our show, which I'd organised with Velocet the day before, and we had to come in and interject, and so well and good. And we've just knocked out number three of a very good little show that I think Joel will be able to market his platform with. It's only two people talking. The conversation isn't what you would normally get on none on mainstream media, but I think it's a little bit above even some of the conspiracy sites, because I learned things today about the Matrix film, which I personally roamed around chatting and talking to people and watched them film the film, not knowing any of what was going to be made. And I did mention it today to Dave. IPS, Tim, I'm in a Coven Osman, he was saying something the other day that totally resonated with me about NASA or the moon landings. And people go, oh, there's too many people involved to not have known what was going on. Too many people involved. Well, I stood around on Dark City, The Matrix, probably 1, 2, and 3 in various spots. I was a conspiracy theorist and a person into the Gnostic stuff, etc. I had no idea what I was working on until a film came out. So you can be on a great big film set, i.e. say Donald Trump's shooting of his ear, left ear, right ear, rather. And you could have just been a player in that particular thing. You didn't know what was going to get put out on the end of production day on the TV or the YouTube or whatever you saw it on. You didn't know. You're just a mere pawn in the game. And so people that work on movies have no concept of what the actual movie is about unless they're the writer or the producer or the director or the assistant director. They have an idea because they also shoot multiple scenes to the ends of movies. You have no idea what the end of a movie is because they always end it with, you know, at least 4 or 5 different shots and then they play it in front of a test audience. And say it was a Clint Eastwood movie, I do believe, Sudden Impact. He has a beautiful bulldog. And there was a scene where the bad guys come in and kick the bulldog. But when they showed it to the test audience, they went, and rightly so, they were so upset they almost got up and walked out of the cinema. So they edited that out and then showed the dog just walking in with a limp. So that was the end result of the film. There could be a director's cut in the future that may come out with, you know, the actual what you saw actual happening. But no, majority of the time you have no idea what you're working on a film. or in a psychological operation, which is what a lot of these crisis actors are working on. They don't know. And they'd be telling the honest truth. And they say there was no, I never saw anything. There was no one. You know, I just think that there was people dead because I saw them from a distance. That was the two witnesses that, what's his name? Can't stand him. The New Zealand, Vinnie Eastwood. He went and interviewed two witnesses to the New Zealand operation, I'll just say that. And this is a 12 months prior to COVID. And in the mosque. And these two guys said, it was real because I saw dead bodies being covered up across the road as I was driving past. But they also said they knew that the story the media released was a lie because it does not take 33 minutes, guess what number, folks, 33 minutes to get from A to B. They said it's only a five-minute drive. And they've said it was 33 minutes on the news, and they said that's completely wrong. But we saw dead bodies. Yeah, they did, but were they just cadavers, life-like dummies, or just people lying down pretending to be dead. So that cemented the story to a lot of people through the conspiracy sites. Not to be trusted. Most of them are not to be trusted. Guaranteed, be told. Vinnie Eastwood then took the brunt of the don't be a truther and say stuff. Don't go protesting because you're going to get jailed. And he was on his show crying and sobbing into a mic. One of the most embarrassing shows I've ever seen before was when he'd been rearrested. And look, if it was true, and obviously he did have a baby on the way, according to the story, but him and Billy Tico, the ex-army, pretty solid kind of guy, I would say, they were protesting the lockdowns, and they went and had broadcast the stuff, and they were going, you know, we need to fight, and the police arrested them, and they were made to be scapegoats and to show the public, if you do go out there and publicise, you know, this thing, you could get jailed and you could lose this and blah, 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 blah. So it was total operation guaranteed. And then the next scene was Vinnie Eastwood in his high pitch, you know, weeping and sobbing into his microphone. Appalling, that's all I can say. If you're that tough to get out there and actually fight back, you wouldn't be breaking down and crying like that. I say fake. So what I would like to talk about, though, and I can talk about this because I'm on the platform to talk about it. I'm allowed to talk about it. Even though Ab last night said, I can talk about it. He just doesn't like me. Or he doesn't like him personally talking about it. But that's not the vibe I get. It's like best don't even mention it over there. But chemtrails, geoengineering, climate manipulation, et cetera, et cetera. And I would say I put myself up as being very knowledgeable on the subject, had been into it for many years, done lots of research. I get to see it in action over the top of my head. Horrific. Friday in Sydney, the wedding. It was line after line after blue sky day got turned into a white, an amalgam of white. It was just this horrible white. Anyway, I took photos of it. I will post them on the live stream show notes if there's such a thing. Line after line, different angles. You know, these are jets that are going overhead. They're always white. They don't seem to be marked. Just pumping out thick streams off from the tail, not from the wings, from the tail of this powerful white something or other. And it just turns the whole sky white. Now, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. But, yeah, the sun was definitely disappeared for a while. And it cleared up again in the afternoon. But whatever they were doing, they did it. I don't know what. But, anyway, where I'm going with this, one of the most simple things to look at, you know, is this so? Why would they be doing this? And, you know, what is it? What are they doing? Now, I don't know what they're doing. There's lots of answers, you know. You've got Bill Gates and their sunblock, blocking the sun to stop climate change and global warming. You've got Are they spraying aluminium to charge up the atmosphere for more the 5G thing? Are we soaking in this aluminium thing and breathing it in and becoming more aluminium so they can switch on the 1 millimeter towers in the future to rid the useless eaters? All of the above, it could be. I don't know. But why are the media so intent on making this normalised? And I've taken so many photos of news shows all around the world on SBS over here. You've got a weather show in Poland, a weather show in Norway, a weather show in England, a weather, you know, and behind them, there's always white lines that the back of their head, there seems to be always a white subliminal image of a white line in the decor of the set or in just going on and behind them. And this is called subliminal pushing. It's normalizing these things. Why are they adding them into old movies? And yes, they are. So the movie, which I found, total exclusive here, be told, the movie, someone told me, I did my own research and found the two altered images. Someone said the movie The Italian Job with, Michael Caine and Benny Hill, Noel Coward, from 1967. There's a scene with a bus. There's an amazing stunt with a bus nearly goes over this cliff. And above in the new version, if you go into YouTube, you've got a white line, bright blue sky with a big white chemtrail going straight over the top, and all the YouTubes and all that I could find. So I went onto a stunt site and I found the stunt, and the original footage has grey skies. Not blue skies, grey skies. They've added the movie Cars, what's that company that does all those kids' movies? There's chemtrails and that. They've added them into Star Wars movies on the posters. Again, I've been awake for a long time and onto this since, say, 10 years or 12 years of this particular subject. So I've had to go to these movies with my kids and I look at the posters. There's X-Fighters and TIE Fighter and Star Wars with chemtrails coming out of the back of them. Did you ever see that before? No. So they're normalising the fuckery, the sky fuckery. Matt Landman does some great stuff. He did the movie to watch is Franken Skies 1 and 2. Highly recommend looking at them. Listening to what's going on in some of the truther sites, IPS is one of them. Is he doing what I consider, call it gaslighting? Not gaslighting, gaslighting. He's gaslighting and causing fighting in his own platform. The gaslighting that goes on about that. And there are people there, they can see what's going on above their heads and they know this isn't normal. If you're in Australia where I am, in the mid-north coast, or in Sydney, now when it is, you will see this not every day, often it doesn't happen for 2 weeks, but all of a sudden it comes and it might happen for a week. So what happens, how come planes don't leave condensation trails all the time? Is it only every 3 weeks sometimes? Are they falling out of the sky sometimes when all of a sudden the condensation trail stops and the plane keeps going, if you're watching, if you're looking up? And most people are not looking up anymore. What are they looking at? They're looking at their black cubes. Sorry, their black scrying mirrors that they've got in their hands. Go on a train, get on a train, be told, or get on a bus, look around. How many people are not looking at their smartphone? Hands up, I'd say 98% are, 2% aren't. And I'm usually one of those 2%. Usually one of those 2%. So I've got photos, one of the worst ones I've ever seen. I was sitting in a pub watching a sports show that was getting pumped into my head, you know, subliminally in the background. I was trying to have a conversation. And each side of every wall has a giant screen TV pumping out, UFS, whatever it's called, the fighting. Wrestling on one side, football on the other. Everywhere you look, racing on another one. And all of a sudden, the guy that was the commentator on a Channel 9 show, number nine, white lines started coming out of the side of his head. It was added in as part of the background to his commentary. And I said, what? I prodded my friend that I was talking to, with my finger and said, excuse me, can you look at this? He said, yes. And I went, can you see that? And he said, what? And I said, there's white lines above this guy's head that is coming out of his head. And he went, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, why? And I said, well, exactly. He didn't think there was anything nefarious about it, but I'm saying it's conditioning you by subliminal imagery. You can't see it. When you're looking at the news, you're not seeing what you're seeing. You're just looking at the talking head. But behind him, there'll be a whole... Just have a look next time when you're watching weather channels particularly. Have a look at the setup of their weather desks and things like that. You'll find white lines all over the place. Are they still doing it? I don't know because I stopped watching TV 7 years ago. But prior to that, I was watching it all the time and I was seeing this stuff. I do not watch TV anymore. Occasionally, I'll go on there just to prove myself right and switch it on. I may do that tomorrow and take some photos if I see it. But without any doubt whatsoever, these new white lines in the sky are not normal, no matter what anyone tells you. No matter what anyone tells you, this did not happen back in the day. Occasionally, you would see a high-altitude jet, maybe very rarely, with a proper condensation trail coming behind them, but that would soon evaporate and disappear. They didn't just sit there and turn the sky white. If you live in high altitudes, I do believe that can happen. I had an argument with a guy once, and the guy was probably Mensa level intelligence guy, and he said, well, actually, he can remember living in the mountains in Victoria that the government actually had to stop flights going over the top of the head because it was altering their cloud patterns. So it can happen at high altitude. If you've got a snow pattern on, it can happen. But it doesn't happen over cities, over rural areas like I live in. It never happened before. Most of the most militant people that I found that spotted it were surfers, people that spend a lot of time in the surf and they could actually see, the difference between blue sky and plains emanating long white trails and doing crisscross things and circles in their head. They never saw it before. So if you're wise and awake, you can see. My ex, who used to just absolutely ridicule me, and then she started seeing it. And she said one day she said she was taking an old 90-year-old guy out for a walk in his wheelchair in front of her job. And she said to him, she was watching over the top of where I live. There was huge amounts of spray going up and down, up and down. And he goes, they're not clouds, are they? And she said, no, they're not. And he could see it. He was 90. He was in his hospital ward most of the time or in his house. He knew they were unusual. I've seen people and watched them when I'm on the train going to Sydney, the weather is. Older people sitting there watching the clouds at these guys. I mean, between here and Sydney, it's empty, but there are lines going contra different directions all the time on certain days. It doesn't happen every day. If it was every day, you'd say, oh, it must be the planes. But no, and it's not. It's the same temperature on the ground or up in the air between most of these days. It hasn't, we're not going between snow and extreme heat. We just got the same variable temperature between 25 and 30 degrees. So same things going on. Then the next day they're gone. There's no such thing. So I'm suggesting there's something going down. Don't ask me what it is. But do you think it could be the aluminium? Do you think it could be helping, when this all this aluminium they're dumping over the top of our heads? It's been measured up at the Snowy Mountains that the snow at Snowy Mountains has got 7 or 8 times more aluminium than it did the last time they tested it. Why would that be so? Why is Bill Gates? Oh, you're looking too, I'll be told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
in the art of conversation.
Fantastic. You're listening to Rick Be Told on the 25th, 7 code, of August 2024. And my goodness, there's been a lot of talk, because I did a great chat last night. My God, I can talk too much, man. I chat to Sud from Austria, and this is on the Fakeologist, audiofakeologist.com, audio chats, as Toby would say, last night, and it was a good chat, but I was listening back, and I was thinking, no one can get a word in with me. That's why I can't do shows with more than two people. I talk too much, be told. But I did drop some interesting information, and we were talking about the movie Rocky Horror Picture Show, and I'm not an authority on that actual musical, but I have met Richard O'Brien and had no idea that he was actually very close friends of my cousin in New Zealand. He lives just up the road from her, and he sang at her. Sorry, she sang at his wedding. He married, I think it was a woman. Not too sure with Richard O'Brien. Not too sure. He's a very camp fellow. Also that. And on Dark City one night, I was standing around outside a caravan, and he come roaming out, singing opera music, wearing a kimono. With his, I don't know what character he played. I've never actually watched the Dark City movie in its entirety. I don't even think I've seen it. A Gnostic heavy movie, a movie a lot of people are impressed with. I got to stand around and watch the filming of it though. And I loved being, it was an incredible scene at, late at night, watching all the strangers, which there was, I don't know, 1,000 extras that they bring in sometimes. It was huge amounts of them, say 500. They had to shave their eyebrows and put this greenish kind of whitish makeup over them and shave their faces, eyebrows, everything, because if you've seen the movie, they're a spooky-looking thing that appears. They appear. I don't even know what Richard O'Brien was playing, because it does, as someone mentioned last night, I think it was Typo Error, Riff Raff and the Strangers do look very awfully similar, so there could be a tie-in with Rocky Horror Picture Show characters and the Strangers. The movie, though, is a not very Gnostic movie like The Matrix. There's a lot of hidden meaning in it. And today on the Bongversation with Dave J, he knocked some stuff out that I hadn't even realised. And I've listened to lots of analysis of Matrix and Dark City. I'm just pouring water into a glass. Sorry, I'm not doing anything unprofessional. I just have to tell you that because these microphones pick up everything. Yeah, so it was incredible to hear what the stuff he was bringing up about Room 101. He ties it straight in with 1984, the book, which I actually, was it me that tied it in? Because that we, somehow he started talking about 1984, and we bounced off each other. And it's actually a really good show. I'm actually quite happy, because I've always wanted to do something more controlled with him, because he just loses it when he's got, he doesn't like many people. And even it was he argues with me all the time as well. But if we can do these things and we get to episode 9, fantastic. Because that's if we can get to episode 9, we've made it. After that, it's just bonuses. So so far we're now up to number 5, which will be next week. Looking forward to it. Extremely complex numbers, and I'm afraid it's not for everyone, because most people don't get this stuff. They might think they're a great conspiracy theorist, but they're actually not. They don't understand the complexity of the mind and the whole weird shit that's been done onto us up on high for many, many years. Why, say, for instance, in Australia, the first channel was Channel 2. Would you think, logic-wise, the second channel would be called Channel 3? No. It was Channel 9, number 9. The next one was Channel 7, and the other one after that was Channel 10. Now, it doesn't make any sense. We've got never had a Channel 8, so only they gave you 7, so you had your 7 code, your 9 code, and your 10, which is 1 plus O plus 1 plus O plus 1 plus O. You have to listen to Dave J to get all this stuff. Then we had all the radio stations, every single one of the AM stations, which gave you all your information prior to TV and computers and the internet. were AM radio stations. AM radio stations. Amplitude, what's it called? Multiplication, whatever. Modification, amplitude modification, AM. Every single station, you had 873, 954, blah, 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 blah. They all add up to 9 using the numerics. You know, 8 and 7, 15, and 3 is 18. That's 1 plus 8 is 9. All of them add up to 9. Why is this so? Why is 9 so important? You'll probably only find this out if you listen to Bongversations next week. Bongversations episode 4 next week. We will talk about these strange frequency anomalies or coincidences. Again, not for everyone. Don't, and people that would criticize and go, that's just, that is because their brain can't get to that level. I just have to tell you that, to be honest. You're either awake or you're not. And some people think they're awake, but they're not. I listen to it and I get messages sometimes. And I see people think, you really don't know what you're talking about, do you? But I don't say it to them, or maybe I have. I will probably tell you if I don't like you, if I think you're stupid. But there's well-meaning awake, and then there's really awake. Really awake. And that is, there is stuff out there that we have not been able to comprehend. And it's to do with numbers, tones, and vibration. The only other person I've really heard nail this stuff was Hans Utter. And unfortunately, he's on a retreat at the moment, and he can't respond to me, but he hopefully will be able to get him to do something. Because he explains it quite well, actually. He's less fractious, but I think he would bow before Dave J's greater knowledge. He's a bit older. But it's fascinating. If you're into how you get your thoughts, and how it's because we're in an electric universe, I'll just have to tell you that. And everything's electric. Have you had acupuncture before? No. If you haven't, you won't understand. But we are electric. The body is electric. No argument whatsoever from me. And I'm sure anyone that wants to argue with me can. But your body is electric. And the Chinese have 3,000 years of records, rainfall measurements. They're a very old civilization that kept accurate records. They also mapped the entire nervous system way before anything. They believe in preventative medicine. Would you go to them for a bypass? No. But you wouldn't need a bypass if you've been using Chinese medicine because they'd unblock all your blockages. That's the best way I'll explain it. It's like a plumber. A plumber would probably understand where I'm going here, but we get energy blockages. And that results in you getting a bad leg, stiff hip, whatever. And I've had more than one occasion, because I've been a very active human being. I've done a lot of exercise. I've worked hard, done a lot of physical work. And I have had injuries and strains and things like that. One day, I couldn't lift my hip flexor. What's that called in Latin? I should know. Struggling to walk. I could move my leg forward, but I couldn't lift my knee up to walk properly. And I got a bus into the city. I knew there was a good acupuncturist up the top of this building. He was on the fourth floor of a building without an elevator. And I had to pull myself up the stairs. Don't be rude. Pull myself up the stairs, literally by holding onto the handrail. And I got up there and he said, look, lie on the table. He said, show me, find the pain. And I wriggled my hip and he stuck the needle in the opposite leg and the knee, back of the knee, and all the pain on my right leg shot out the back of my left leg. Unbelievable. And I skipped down the stairs and went to work. So acupuncture is an incredibly, but you've got to find a good acupuncturist. Don't just go to any idiot. And they tend to, Chinese tend to know what they're doing a bit better than the round eyes. Is that racist? Yes, it is. And I don't care. I think the Chinese, they're the people I go to when it comes to Chinese medicine. Like if I go to an Italian restaurant, I don't go and see an Italian restaurant that's been, has a Chinese person cooking in it, vice versa with a Chinese restaurant. It's an old culture. It's in their genes. If genes are real, it's in their psyche. It's in the ancestral lineage of whatever. They've got that power of healing using needles with little copper ends. And I don't know if I've brought this up before, but one of the other things I like to talk about is the ancient, like the Maori tohunga, what you would call a witch doctor in other tribes, but I call it in New Zealand, it's a tohunga, a T-O-H-U-N-G-A, I think, pronounced skull. And I've been into this stuff for many, many years. I love the unknown, I love hearing stories, anecdotes. You know, New Zealand is full and very spiritual country. And this guy was telling me about when he was born. We were talking about tohungas and the things, because word spreads if you can be healed by somebody. And he was born with epilepsy in 1963-62. He's 2 years older than me. And his mother, he was having convulsions and things like that when he was born. So his mother took him to this healer, the tohunga, in the area, who said, no problem, I'll come back in a week. And he built a wooden box, probably using native timbers, probably rimu or kauri or whatever it was. But at the ends were copper wires. This is the only way this guy could describe it. He had no idea what he was describing. He just said that there was copper wires. He said it was like a battery box. You see where you've got your copper wire on one end and another end, you sit in the middle of it. And he said, the guy said, he has to sleep in this for 2 weeks and he should be fine afterwards. Well, guess what? He was healed. It was some kind of electrical imbalance in the system, and this thing that this guy created in 1962, with no science training or background, healed him. How did he know to do that? Can someone explain that to me? Is there a special course that you do? And why is no one else, you know what I mean? These things are incredible. And I heard so many anecdotal first-person things about this one particular guy. And when this guy was born, my old boss that was on the same job said, yeah, I remember when he, because there's no argument with these guys. There's no, oh, that's bullshit. They totally believe that there's people out there that can heal you. They're using old techniques. Somehow they knew this. Maybe I suggest that the Maori come from an Egyptian lineage, because that you cannot spot the difference between an Egyptian and a Maori. Often, I've mentioned it before. The army used the Maori and the Fijians and their special forces to do undercover work in the Middle East. Still to this day, guaranteed, because you can't tell the difference. Their blood, their faces, their noses, everything incredibly similar. Do they have ancient knowledge that they passed on? I'm saying yes. This subject fascinates me. I've heard, obviously there's some frank stories about tohungas, and, you know, one of them was over here, it made mainstream news to rubbish them. This guy had said that this girl was possessed by spirits to fill the whole room with onions. This was in Queensland about 20 years ago. And I thought, onions? Well, it could be there. I have no idea. But they were there to rubbish the Maori tohungas as part of a story in the media. So if it's in the media, what you do, turn it upside down and disbelieve it. So they were probably just doing a rubbish hit piece. But all I know is the stories that I've heard, like when this particular healer that was born that healed a friend of mine, the guy that he was telling the story to, said, yeah, I remember, because he was the boss. He was a Maori guy in his 60s. He said when this insert name of healer was born, there was a huge lightning storm over the area of Matakana Island, and everyone knew that something special was going to happen. This guy was born that day. Without any training, without going and doing anything, he became a child healer. Too many people have told me too many amazing stories, so I've got no doubt whatsoever. But I'd like to do just something just based on natural healing and herbs and things like that. I'm big onto that. I've got a fair broad interest in it. And I think we had originally back in the day, you had your shaman in certain places. You had in Ireland, you had the druids, we got apparently exterminated by the Normans. Would that be right? I would like Silas speak to manifest himself out there, but I don't think he will. But if he could, he seems to have an uncanny knowledge of this stuff. Uncanny knowledge of this stuff. But I think the Druids knew stuff. They also, a lot of the people they slaughtered throughout the last few hundred years tend to be the bards and the people that kept records of your existence. Norway had the Norwegian sagas. Really funny sketch parodying this is on Monty Python, old episode, Norl's Saga, if you can find that on YouTube. Very funny. The Norwegians kept accurate records probably going back 1,000 years of who you were born. Maoris had the same thing. The Maoris have accurate records going back 700 years to the first ships that came from Hawaiki, which is the Hawaiian Islands, to New Zealand. And there are people in the tribe that can recite everyone's lineage by name on which ship they came on. That's a fact. That's a fact. And but Norway does this, has the same thing. Scotland had the same thing. Ireland had the same thing. The various tribes of England would have had the same thing. Wiped out back in the day by churches. And we'll just name that one, the Catholic Church and the Jesuits. And there he is again, Robert De Niro. Always has to be in a movie that kind of exposes this kind of stuff. And there he was in that movie playing the Jesuit priest with Jeremy Irons, showing them to be the good guys. Or did it? The Missionary. I never seen it. I saw bits of it. Fantastic soundtrack from Ennio Morricone. What an amazing guy. Ennio Morricone soundtrack to The Missionary. Is that what it was called? Probably is. But there's Robert De Niro. He just pops into the right movies. He's like the New Zealand actor that keeps popping into the... He's always in the right movies. I don't know how this... You know, the dinosaur movies, the Damien Thorne and the Omen Part 2. There he is again, Sam Neill. The dinosaur movies that push dinosaur imagery on kids, Sam Neill. He's in too many Neill movies. Seems like a nice guy. I've never met him. I've met his wife, Narika, who's a Japanese makeup artist, very nice lady. But no, I've never met him. I'd love to chat with him. And back in New Zealand, back in the old days, he popped up in the, basically it was New Zealand's biggest movie back in the 70s called Sleeping Dogs. Am I being recorded here? Because I can't hear any more interruptions. Anyway, Sleeping Dogs, its original title was Smith's Dream. I've got the book here, Be Told. And it's basically an Orwellian story about a guy who discovers accidentally his wife leaves him and he goes and lives bush. He lives on an island in Coromandel. And he accidentally tumbles upon, he's working, or the people on the island that have been living there before, working for anti-government forces, and he gets mistakenly thought of as to be a terrorist. It's a great movie. Very 78 it came out. But Sam Neill is in a lead actor. He just keeps popping up in interesting movies all the time. Again, like Robert De Niro, Joker, Taxi Driver, et cetera, et cetera. The Missionary. Why is this so? I've got no idea. I have no idea. No idea. But you'll get these same actors that are kind of there to, the trustworthy actors. Probably, maybe they do screen tests and say, this guy conveys honesty. And Robert De Niro, I've always thought, is a great actor. You are listening to A Beat Old.
No matter what your age, you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Truthmeets.com, great platform. Great platform. And you're listening to Rick on a Be Told, because no one else, I think, did we offend everyone when we kicked them off their platform and they're having a discourse? Possibly. I think there's a few people that were a bit upset. But anyway, it's the way it was. And it's really hard to do a focus show on the subject of numbers and mind stuff with Dave. I defy anyone else to come on and do a show without him screaming at you that you're an idiot. Be told. So we'd organised it, we did it, we've knocked it out, Velocet's produced it and released it with the music. He's got a great little show there. If I may say so myself, but I'm not the main talent on the show. I'm just the host that interjects with a kind of a pertinent question here and there. But it's out there, number 3. Have a listen. You should enjoy it if you've got... an open mind, and you're not. Yeah, I mean, Dave does go out and you know he chooses to use insults when he's dealing with people, and he's very good at it, guaranteed. But have a listen. It's out there on the truthmeets.com. Bong Conversations number 3. Listen to 1, 2, and 3, and next week is number 4, and it'll be on number 5. But anyway, we're talking about Sam Neill, Robert De Niro. Who else is another influential actor? I would say Harrison Ford. They turn up in movies that are important consistently. And Harrison Ford, I think he was in The Mosquito Coast. He was in Star Wars, obviously, but American Graffiti, which was there again back in 1972-3, whatever it was. To reiterate the 50s, to make you forget about what's going on with Vietnam. We're in the 50s now, and Happy Days came out to reiterate the same thing. And it was neuro-linguistic programming calling it Happy Days. You're not miserable. Vietnam's not causing you to be depressed. Happy Days. It's Happy Days. And you had the Fonz, a Jewish guy pretending to be an Italian. Why is this so? No idea. Great, fantastic show until it created the term Jump the Shark, which it did when it started losing ratings, and you had this ridiculous episode with Fonzie, or a stunt rider, jumping over a empty shark tank, and they now use that term Jumping the Shark to describe a show that's finished its usefulness and it's just Jump the Shark. And I would say Matrix 4 and 5, may as well have Fonzie in this lead, may as well have Neo playing Fonzie jumping over sharks, because the best stuff was done in 1, 2, and 3. Probably 1, I would say, to be honest. But 2's all right. 3's eh, eh, eh. 4, do I want to see Carrie Ann Moss at 56? Maybe not. I got to see her when she was much younger and extremely good-looking, and no, I didn't get to take her pants off, but I did take her to the toilets. I'm pointing them the direction. I don't know if you listen to the Fart Podcast Reunion 52, that great game show that we produced, Velocet produced, but we, great team. John LeBon, D-Train, Verilicious versus Rick Rollo and Noise Level. And we caught up, but we didn't win. Rollo was convinced that we'd won. That's what happens when you drink 3 big goon bags of white wine, cooking wine from China. Doesn't work well with your memory. Anyway, back to the movies and TV shows. And another thing I was thinking of, we didn't bring it up today, but the X-Files episode Blood, directed by coincidence, is about, and it starts off with chemtrails in it. It also involves subliminal computers putting imagery and words into people's minds, and they're going out and killing people. But the director of that episode just happened to be called David Nutter, N-U-T-T-E-R. So that was, again, NLP. It was saying, you're into chemtrails, Nutter. Oh, that's what I think anyway. Well worth watching that episode. I do remember it. 1994, I guess, it came out. It's called Blood. And the lone gunmen are in it. And me and my friends used to think of ourselves as the lone gunmen back in those days because we identified with them being these nerdy conspiracy theorist types. This is pre-internet. Or maybe the internet was around, but it wasn't like it is now. It was slowly waning, I should say. But the Lone Gunman episodes were very good. And you did see on the last Lone Gunman episode, remote control planes going into the towers. I think it was about a month or two before the actual towers went down, 9/11, be told. What a coincidence. Well worth watching the Lone Gunman episodes if you can be bothered. I'm just going to mute for a bit. Blow me down. Who would be here but the fakeologist himself?
Blow me down. How are you, Rick? I found you.
I'm here. Here I am. Well, I've just done an hour and a half. I'll just have to look at my watch. I've just done 40 minutes of chatting to myself.
How did it go?
Oh, man, so far, fantastic. I mean, I just, honestly, as you would have heard last night, I have this uncanny ability to just spout constant stuff out of my one of the organs in my mouth, one of the orifices, yeah. Rather, one of the orifices. Good to
your
see
mouth
you.
Orifice.
Well, hey, welcome to truthmeats.com. Welcome to truthmeats.com.
Thank you very much.
I haven't spoken to you over here before.
No. It's been. It's different here because your voice is different. I don't know what's different.
Do you think? Oh, well, I've just done a show with Dave J.
Dave J has left the server.
He might have done because he's... I keep saying, just stay out of the voice chats.
He lasted longer than I thought.
Well, how long was that?
5 minutes.
I think he'd probably come back, or what he suggested to me, and I totally agree. He wants to keep doing, because we've got how many more shows? We've got five shows to do. Six shows. This is number three.
Oh, does he have a contract that he has to fulfill?
Yeah, with me, he's got it's a mutual contract. We're going up to level number nine, and we've done three episodes.
Number nine.
So, and look, the problem is, there he is. Fantastic. I tried to summon you before Silas. I said, please let Silas come into the room. I was talking about druids. Are you there?
Drew Babylonian bastard.
Hi,
yeah,
Silas.
I was trying to talk about the fact that the Maori have their orators that could recite all the history of the tribes back to the first ships that went to New Zealand 700 years ago, whatever it was. The Irish have the druids or the bards? Where were the bards?
The bards were the storytellers. The druids were the priest class.
The priest class.
I think the bards were maybe a sect of the druid order. I'm unsure.
Well, someone, you know, the Norwegians had the sagas, right? So the Norwegian sagas could go on. One person could sit there for 24 hours reciting a saga going back to their original inf of their history. Back in the day, I assume you know about the Norwegian sagas.
The Skalds and such, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm suggesting that they've tried to get rid of those people, and I reckon that it was the Normans or the Catholic Jesuits that did it, that went to all these different countries and silenced these people. I mean, didn't the Druids get slaughtered by somebody or chased
around?
Yeah,
It was the Romans on the Isle of Anglesey.
Okay, funny you should say it. Yeah. Would that be the Jesuits or just the Roman Church?
No, that was while Rome was still, quote-unquote, pagan. But yes, right, essentially Catholicism is Roman paganism. if you ever go to St. Peter's Basilica, it looks uncannily like a pantheon, like a an ancient Greco-Roman temple. You have the popes lined round. The Pantheon's similar. They've got, instead of the instead of the Olympiad Pantheon, you have the popes and the saints.
Yeah.
So it's the same notion, same idea.
Fantastic. So the Druids, though, were the priest class. Sorry, I'm just filling water up. I'm not going to the toilet. Just have to reiterate that to anyone listening out there. The Druids were the priest class, but that weren't. So the bards were the storytellers, but were they? What's the difference? When I'm talking about the Norwegian sagas, who told the sagas? Who were the people in Norway or that area that actually had that information of your generation, your father, the father's father, your grandfather, great-grandfather, and they could tell you your history, and it could take a day, but they notoriously good at remembering things.
I believe the Skalds would have fit that description. They were the equivalent of the bards. And then you had the priest class, which were, I mean, there's different ways to refer to them. Some believe they were just referred to as the Gota, which is, the men of God.
Okay.
G-O-T-H-E. There's different ways Gota. Of spelling it, but...
So in Sweden, that Gothenburg, would that be Gothenburg. Something like that? Gothenburg, yeah.
Yeah.
Germanic, and Saxe Gotha,
anything with Goth, that essentially is the etymological root of God, or
okay, so
literally,
what would Visigoth mean then?
So Visa is Western. It's an old Gothic term for Western, and Ostra is again like Austra or Jostra, the dawn, so the east.
Fantastic. See, I knew some of them turn up that would actually understand what I was talking about. I've been just babbling for 45 minutes, and I think thankfully Ed came in to keep me awake. Not that I was going to sleep. I could have just kept talking. I was just going to keep going. We did a great show with Dave, and he is quite clever because we talked about one scene in The Matrix that I had never even picked up on. He ties it straight in with 1984 by George Orwell. If you listen to the show, I think it's 1 hour, 20 minutes, maybe 110 minutes, number 11. But it's a good show. You'll enjoy it, Silas, guaranteed. But
I'll check it out, man. I'll check it out.
It's already been knocked out. So tomorrow or whenever you want, have a listen. But it's... I was just sitting there and I went from story to story to story to story. But one thing I do want to focus on is the Normans. Who were they and who financed them? And were they the guys that, do you think, how we've only got records up to 1700 or going back to our family histories around 1700, did they come in and reset the place and knock down old graves and burn records? Mm-hmm. Why can we only go back to that? And was it them, or who could it have been?
There's an individual I speak to, Charles Giuliani, and he created quite an extensive set of notes on the Normans, not just the Normans, the Templars, all of the knightly orders, and linking it to all the way back to the Egyptian Hyksos, and also Solomon's Temple, Solomon's Gold, as it's called. Supposedly, the Templars found this, and conveniently, right after they supposedly made this discovery in Jerusalem when they were doing the digs, that's what the First Crusade was all about. They took this wealth, this collateral, back to Europe, and then obviously the Templars founded the first central banking orders within Europe. And then, of course, once they were outlawed, the Templar order was dispersed into various orders, including the Masons. Within Iberia, you had the Order of the Knights of Christ, I think, was one of them.
They
began to branch off and create their own central banking systems. Now, of course, don't get me wrong, none of this was necessarily Christian or Muslim or Jewish. It was something that it encompassed all of these religions, right? It was something that stemmed back, to an even far more ancient time. But yeah, so he goes into all of that. He ties in the Normans or the Northmen, essentially. Normandy are from...
Hmm? When they came over, they had almost like what you'd call aircraft carriers, or size ships, that had all the horses, you know, repairs, factories to manufacture weaponry.
Mm-hmm.
Crossbow was their weapon. They used a crossbow, which is far more heavy caliber, you know, than it was probably armor piercing, like, you know, they were better kitted out. They had better armor, and they took over the Norman conquests. To be honest, it's not that long ago in terms of history. If you think about, you know, your grandfather be 100 years of age, your great grandfather, maybe he got to 90. It's not that far ago that there wasn't kind of records of this stuff. We've got the old, those long cloths with, depicting what was going on that's, kept in the royal churches, the burial areas like Westminster Cathedral, you can see influences and things like that. Huge, beautiful old buildings carry, records in glass, and in the actual stained glass is actual imagery of, those uniforms, and et cetera. Were they French? Where did they come from?
So the Normans... Specifically, within Normandy, within the 10th century, so the early 900 ADs, a Viking called Rollo was provided a parcel of land. Yeah, I know. provided a parcel of land, which is now Normandy, and he settled Scandinavians there, Vikingers, pirates, and he was instructed, he was tasked by the French king at the time, or the Frankish king at the time. I forget, it might have been Charles the Bald or Charles the Fat, I forget now.
Were they named after the public calling them Charles the Bald or Charles the Fat, or they chose that themselves?
Oh, I'm unsure. I think it was later historians, perhaps.
Okay, or just to differentiate, Charles the Bald or Charles the Fat.
Yeah,
and we've got Charles Big Ears now. Charles Big Ears, that's what I'll be referring to him.
Yeah, and sausage fingers as well.
And Charles Sausage Fingers. And the next 200 years, that's what it'll be referred as.
But funny story, I was up at, was it Prince Albert's Pyramid? It's, up north. Lo and behold, who did I bump into? That Charles.
Really?
They were doing a parade, a welcoming home parade or whatever the hell they were doing. But yeah, the BBC were there and all of that. I'm like,
wow,
what are the chances? The day we go up, the sausage fingers is here.
Isn't it amazing? Changing subjects, I've always had a soft spot for Charles because he was a Goon fan, and I'm a Goon fan, Spike Milligan. He was an obsessive Goon fan. Have you ever seen, there's actually on YouTube, Charles pretending to be Blue Bottle with his commander of the ship, the captain admonishing him, and he's doing the Blue Bottle voice. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but he's prepared to humiliate himself and do Spike Milligan Peter Sellers impersonation. You're listening to Be Told.
I told.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your preoccupation
on truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, on with the conversation.
The art of conversation.
Be told. You're listening to Be Told Sunday on the Truth Meets Network. We're listening to, you've got The Fakeologist, oh my God.
Hello.
You've got Silas Speaks, oh my goodness. And I do believe, I think I can see Sud in the background. Fantastic. And we're talking about the Norman conquests and Prince or King Charles Sausage Fingers, who is definitely a major player.
How is
now. I think he's obviously, I don't know if he was deemed to be who he's meant to be right now, but he's here. He's saying the right things for the, he's a very much a greenie. He's very much for cull of the useless eaters by his father. And the fact he's just all over the place. And it's, where were you, sorry, Silas, where were you when Charles popped up?
Well, Balmoral. So the Balmoral Cairns. I think it's called Prince Albert's Pyramid as well.
I heard it is a pyramid.
That's the one. Yep. Yeah, there's it's like a monument to Prince Albert. You know, like a funerary monument. So yeah.
She really, old Queen Victoria really did. He must have been pretty accomplishing in the sack for the amount of statues and memorabilia for her ex-husband when he passed away. She was very upset when he died. There's no doubt about that. No doubt about that.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And you've been to, you know, just by coincidence, what's the river that he's got at the his monument? It's a snake. It's a snake named River in London, where the monument is to him, Prince Albert's memorial on the river. What's it called? It's a. I'm sure it's got a snake. There's something slithering about it. There's an art gallery there too. It's in London, a walk away from Buckingham Palace. Anyway, I digress. It all come into my head, but it's definitely snake related. I have to say that. I can't remember why, but it's in my head. I was there. I checked it out, and that monument, he's in gold, the Prince Albert Memorial, in. Why can't I remember the name of that river? It's got an art gallery, the monument's there.
The Mossel?
No, there's a river. I think it's a river very nearby.
Not the Thames, no.
Well, we're talking about the Thames. Power of the water, it's an incredibly wide, fast flowing water thing. It's obviously they always build cities nearby these things. Like you've got obviously in Egypt and you've got Africa and whatever. There seems to be this thing that you need to have high flowing water going past your city that you build. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just to do with the shipping.
Commerce. Yeah. It's because all cities are essentially they've been created by a financier class. All of them, every one of them. They don't. Yeah. These things don't form naturally. They're artificial.
The black nobility.
Yeah,
the black nobility. Yeah, and you would be in agreement with the fact that. The sinking city in Italy, where the original Venice, Venetian, Venice, in that order, same group of people. But apparently, the Venetians are the ones that leased the ships to other conquering races around the place. They were the mercantile class. Basically, you would say I would.
Yeah.
Yes. They also paved the way for a further Islamic expansion into the Balkans with the Fourth Crusade. So
interesting. Well, today, Dave, he said to me that the Muslims are on their ninth crusade now. The ninth crusade where they're expanding the Muslims are being. Expunged from Gaza, expunged from the Middle East, and we're in the ninth crusade. Would you agree with that, or would you disagree with that?
Yeah, no, it's certainly a crusader state. That's one of the ways that they sell it to the evangelicals in North America. It's actually one of the ways that they sell it here as well in Europe.
Interesting. Into my head. Dave's been talking about rabbits today. We've been talking about the Matrix movie and Alice in Wonderland and stuff like that. And there is also a cartoon that was huge in the 60s called Crusader Rabbit. That's the actual cartoon character from 1965 or whatever.
So it's actual,
no, it was it's a symbol, Ab. It's a symbol, and the fact the rabbit's always used, and they used it in The Matrix, they used it in Alice in Wonderland, they've used it in a number of things. But Crusader Rabbit, I do believe, is an old cartoon, or am I imagining it? Is this the Mandela effect? I don't know. Anyway, sorry, keep going.
Just before my time, I don't know that one.
It's a fact, Ab. I'll share it onto the live stream show notes. Be told.
Was it an Australian
commercial? No, it's American Crusader Rabbit. But the rabbit and crusades obviously are a thing, and the fact that there is so much, the Muslims, the diaspora of the Muslims is going on right now, because we're getting it big time here.
Mm.
You're getting it where you are. Mm. Go.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, well, ultimately, what they're doing is they're expunging them. They're going to Europe, and that entire area is being depopulated. It's similar to actually what's happening in Ukraine. That area is also being depopulated. Yeah, because that has to be controlled. So that has to be populated by, you know, let's speculate who, but it has to be populated by a controlled group, or a more controllable group, because that is, of course, the breadbasket of the world, essentially, the black soil of Ukraine. The area within the Levant, that is just, you know, since essentially antiquity, that has been commercially the heartland, because it intersects several different trade routes, where it's positioned within the Mediterranean and between Asia and Europe and Africa. It bridges three continents commercially. It's just, if you own the quote unquote holy land, then essentially you own trade, right? Not just overland trade, but also sea trade, especially with the development of the Suez Canal and that. So there's nothing really holy about it.
Watch Suez backwards, isn't it? Zeus.
Oh yes, yeah, which is links to the Deos or Dios, the sky.
No coincidence. I just have to say that. No coincidence. Yep. Yeah. So Suez.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that one, right? I like that.
Yeah. You didn't hear that on IPS. You heard that on here. Truth Meets with Rick and Silas and you. It's total exclusive. Yeah. No, it's not exclusive, but it's a fact that Suez. And I noticed that because I am a cleaner, and one of the big companies over here is Suez that does rubbish removals. And I looked at it and thought, that's Zeus backwards. Sure enough, be told. Yeah, be told. 100%. Silas, keep speaking.
The reverse as well of the sky is the underworld. It's the Kur, the above, Hades.
As above, so below. Inversion. Yeah. Fantastic.
And another thing regarding the Normans as well is that there's a Kabbalistic link with them. And I can't remember these notes off the top of my head. I'll try and get the video. And I think I have the notes somewhere, but it's probably on a different hard drive.
Don't worry, man. It's all good. All good.
A guy called Charles Giuliani is a really good researcher, and I concur with a lot of his findings. And
where's he from? Do you know?
He's from Massachusetts. Fantastic. He has a Boston accent, so it's somewhere around there. And he created these sets of notes on the Templars, all of that, but he also mentioned that there was a connection to the Hebrews, to Kabbalah as well, and you see that within a lot of the Templar / Norman cathedrals that were built, Roslyn Chapel being one of them.
So Roslyn is up there, one of the most important ones, and we're talking about the in Scotland, the 33rd. The Scottish Rite of Freemasonry based in Roslyn or around that area?
Yes. Yep. And of course, I went to Portugal recently as well. And of course, the Templar Order was disbanded in 1312 with the death of Jack de Molay. Interestingly, it links to IBM. the computer company because his name in Latin is Jacobus, Jacobus Burgantes Moles. So IBM, wow. Jacobus Burgantes Moles. You have that link.
Fantastic.
There.
Well, another exclusive from you, man. That's really good stuff.
So in Portugal, in Tomar and Sintra, there's very concurrent, though somewhat unique symbolism. And that was all created by the Templar offshoots as well, and of course the early Masons. So
I'm totally enthralled with the Templar stuff. I've been going right into it and looking into it, and their influence is just second to none. And the fact that they're running almost Switzerland is to me the high seat of power for sure, next to probably maybe the Brahmic Indian areas. That are also extremely powerful, and the Himalayas. I think there's something about the Himalayas that I'm not quite sure of. It. Shambhala, there'll be a thing in Shambhala, that hidden, the whole story about Shambhala and being this beautiful city high up in the, is it the Great White Brotherhood control Shambhala? I think it may be. Yes. It's all very, sorry, I'm interrupting, but keep going.
No, no, you're fully correct. That's from the Theosophical tradition.
The Theosophical tradition, which is totally way bigger influence than anybody else, as far as I'm concerned, that I've been looking into on us at our present stage right now. We've got a massive Anthugi, which I was talking about last night. I said, George Soros may be technically Jewish, but he has no links to Zionism or anything. He's totally Thuggee, which is, again, traced back up those same hills towards the Himalayas and or Middle Eastern high-level belief system. It's not a belief system that's popular. It's a very brutal system, the Thuggee. That's T-H-U-G-E-E. We can trace assassin, as the same group, very Middle Eastern or very Indian, Hindu, in my mind. Sorry.
There was something else as well with no. So in regards to the Thuggees and the links with India, I'm writing a new book now, and I just stumbled upon this. I didn't develop it. It was a linguist, I think in the 70s, but I forget his name now. I've got the reference somewhere in the book, but he mentions that the Sabazios cult, that again, this is this tie-in with Jesus, Dionysus, Bacchus, Attis, all of these, even all the way back to Tammuz, right? That these death and resurrection deities. And all, obviously, as well, they're deities of immortality too, or eternal life.
Yep.
And these saviors, funnily enough, all of their names, well, just to take, for example, right, the Sabazios, right, which links to Yahweh Sevaot, or Yahweh, the Lord of the Host. That Sabazios, if it's broke, it can be broken down into a compound of two words, which link with both Proto-Indo-European, Zve, which is a sort of, a distinct pronunciation of Shiva, and yes. Deos, which is, of course, the sky or God, the heaven, the heavenly one. So Shiva, the God, Shiva, the heavenly one. So this sort of Dionysus, Bacchus, Sabazios, all of this, which was, it's still huge today. And of course, all of his priests were, they were feminine, female presenting, right? They were transgender, they were androgynous.
That's why they all wear dresses. Isn't that why they all wear, basically, dress as women? We're talking about Anglican, Catholic, Hindu.
Robes.
Yeah, the robes. It's basically a dress.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah, that goes back to the Attis cult, and that's how the gala priests would dress. And of course, as well, I mean, they would go through castration and all of that, but the Catholicism is very similar because they're just celibate. You know, there's that tie
same
in
with
there.
The judges wearing robes.
Same thing.
Yeah, judges wear robes too.
Yeah, it's very Saturnian.
Which is like a big dress, isn't it?
It's Saturnian as well. It has this kind of black, and they're dressing in black robes for in the legal system.
Black robes, yeah. It's like a Wicca cult.
Which was interestingly another movie about Jesuits is called Black Robe. If you look up that movie, I was talking about tonight, Robert De Niro and the missionary. About the Jesuits, but the Black Robe movie is also about Jesuits, and that's what the movie's titled. And it's,
I think I watched that.
Yeah, it came
I
out
think,
about
a long time ago.
Later, there's a there for sure with this black robe and this dress that these priestly class dress in. Anyway, Silas, keep going. Sorry. Interrupting you?
No, you're totally correct. You have the black of the judge and the white of the priest, and it's all based around time. They revere time, and they revere this concept of thresholds or the cyclic eternity of time. So, everything that they're doing, the way they set up their system, it's all to, well, firstly, the androgynous thing is the rebus. It's the alchemical fusion of the black and the white, right? Of the two polarities. Into,
duality, whatever, black and white, and the squares, which we see all over the place.
To establish the synthesis, Yeah, absolutely. That's exactly what this is all about. Of course, that links to the Sephiroth as well. They seem to worship wherever you see these mystery schools or mystery religions crop up. They also seem to worship this mother goddess figure, right? You saw in the Eleusinian mysteries, they would take the ergot fungus, right, through the Kikion, this sort of elixir of barley and wine. Which, funnily enough, also crops up in the Eucharist. And upon the barley would be attached this ergot fungus, right? It would parasitically latch onto it.
Like an LSD.
Metabolizes in your body as LSD, yeah. So yeah. They would go down into this sort of cave, right? Very similar to how I saw it within Sintra, the initiation well there for the Order of the Knights of Christ. You had to go down 9 flights of stairs, right?
Or really? Really?
Yeah. The 9 levels of hell from Dante's Inferno.
Or the 9 realms. The 9 realms.
Or the 9 realms, yeah. That goes back to, obviously, Vedic tradition, where who was in the center of the 9 realms? Shiva, right?
Wow.
It's the same thing. It's tying all back to basically destruction, decay. So, and how that, maintains time. So this is what it all really boils down to.
It is. So time is Chronos. And mm-hmm. you would have been really impressed at this artwork I saw on Thursday night. I went to my son's art, drama, and music performance. And they had an art exhibition. This girl that was my son introduced me to her. She's produces artwork, and he said it's really.
After
the break, be told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to another conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now on with the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
You're listening to Be Told, Sunday, the 25th of August.
You need a bot?
We need a bot. But I went to see my son's art exhibition, and he introduced me to some of the people that had done some of the actual hands-on artwork. And Silas, you would have been blown away. This girl has done a three-dimensional artwork based on a Harlan Ellison novel dystopian novel. I've never heard of it before. And it's got teeth. It goes into three different dimensions. It's got the imagery, though, in the background is Kronos eating his child. This is going from, you know, Harlan Ellison, who wrote a lot of good, amazing stuff. I'm sure you know who I'm talking about. And I was like, whoa. I said to her, what you've done is so, it's dark, it's powerful, it's fantastic. And she's obviously going to, you know, do well in her university entrance artwork. But how she understands what, she read the novel by Harlan Ellison. I think he wrote a number of powerful stuff, but this is a short story that my son said not many people have read, and I believe it because I'd never heard of it before. It's about the Demiurge comes back and he finds five people and he tortures them for eternity. It, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's a Harlan Ellison book. But the main image in this painting was definitely Kronos eating the baby in the background. I'll get a photo of it and try and send it to you. But your stuff, what you're tying in here is 12 out of 10. It's the Frank the Salt Guy, high-level, be told, good stuff.
Has he shown up yet?
No, he's on holiday. He may show up my house on Tuesday.
That's what I meant. Is he coming to your house today?
Well, not yet. Yeah, he will. No, I'll send you a photo of him drinking some coffee. I guarantee.
Yeah.
So go for it, Silas. Keep talking. Sorry to interrupt.
I know as well that Saturn devouring his son is a very powerful motif. It's something that's been created by many, many, or it's been painted or depicted by many, many artists. Of course, it's quite interesting when you look into the Greco-Roman tradition and how Saturn usurped, Uranus, or again, the Dios, the sky, right? And emasculated him. And then obviously Saturn or Kronos in return was overthrown by Jupiter or Zeus. But not necessarily overthrown. He was imprisoned. And within that tradition, the way they explain the schizophrenic human condition is that we are both Titanic and, you know, part of the Olympians, right? We have both of those natures in us. I think that probably
relates. That's why they named the ships like that. That's interesting.
Oh, guaranteed. And some of the Olympic Games and the Olympians, and King Charles has said, I am an Olympian. You know, it's been quoted as saying that. So he wasn't saying, I'm an Olympian, I'm a great athlete, and I can do a ridiculous dance, a break dance like the Australian one did the other day. How embarrassing. But he was mentioning that they bring this stuff up because it's a must be known to tell the public who they are and what their beliefs are. And we're going back thousands of years to various different Vedic, Shiva. We're going into Shiva. I think Shiva is incredibly important to talk about with Kamala, who's also Hindu as well.
Kamala,
yeah. I think we're being introduced into a very Hindu cyclic system right now with this election program that's going on at the moment. It speaks for you. You want to back me
well,
up?
Well, yeah. Kamala in Sanskrit means lotus. So the lotus itself, and when I was in Sintra, we saw the same thing. It was the lily pad, right? So, of course, that's the European equivalent. Mm. What does the lotus and the lily pad, where do they grow from? Well, their roots descend down
into
the marsh. Yeah, into the decay, into the destruction, the death of that marsh.
Wow.
And then it blooms forth. So it's that sort of semiotic or symbolic value. Well,
I'll just have to interrupt again. New South Wales, in Australia, where I am, their logo for the state was the Waratah. It was called a Waratah. which is a native plant to this area. And all of a sudden, about 5 to 10 years ago, they changed the logo. They repainted it differently, and they changed all their fonts on the New South Wales government to something that all of a sudden people said, that doesn't look anything like a Waratah, it looks like a lotus. So we have the lotus logo is now been changed from the native Waratah to a lotus, which the new Indian migrants would recognise straight away as being a powerful logo for them. So you're 100% on the money.
It's similar to what we were discussing regarding the black of the judges and the white of the priest. So it's this schizophrenic system. In fact, I have to be honest with you, I don't discuss it in Yahweh as Satan, but in this new book, Shiva and Yahweh are very similar. I mean, for example, if you look at the Old Testament, 2 Kings 21:7, it states that the name of the Lord is etched into Jerusalem. You look at the topography of Jerusalem, it is essentially in the shape of the shin, right? And then it also states, it further confirms this by stating, the law of God or the name of God or Yahweh is written into the hearts of mankind. So we have a tripartite ventricle structure, which again is in the shape of the shin. It's a sort of W shape, right?
Yep.
However, Shiva has his trishula. The trishula, again, at the top, because it's a trident, has that same W shape, right? That same shin shape. Poseidon, in the Atlantean myth.
Poseidon is the
yes, the psi symbol. The psi symbol is a derivation of that.
Psi.
Yeah. Which was also that was the street layout of Dealey Plaza.
Wow. Yeah, so, no, that's, right. Okay, yeah, no, that's
psi.
Yeah, and, I just saw SMJ, who's on this platform right now.
Yeah, that's his favorite topic.
Yeah, and he's 100% correct. Also, Silas, the Hebrew letters
and Yahweh, on the Twin Towers,
is exactly the same. Yeah, same thing. Mm-hmm. The Hebrew letters YHWH, which is Yahweh in English, Jehovah. If you actually write them vertically, they actually show an upright person at four different levels. So language is, all our languages do go into one. If you can, so what apparently happened historically, the Tower of Babel, all languages were scattered. What we have to do now is be puzzle people and do puzzles, jigsaw puzzles, and put that all back together again. And you'll still see the same patterns if you've got the skills. If you've got the skills, that they're using the same symbols all over the place. And that trident logo is everywhere. And I think McDonald's, the golden arches is a trident upside down. Everywhere you look.
Psi.
Yeah. It's all the psi. Yeah. Yeah. It's everywhere when you see it, and you're completely correct. The facades are of the bottom of the, and obviously all the way up. Of the the World Trade Center buildings, the main ones, the Twin Towers, that was the Psi letter as well. It's the same concept, and it really ultimately it points back to this. What you're dealing with is a cult, right? That grew out of this worship of time, and this Kronos. This timely Kronos. Deity, Kronos,
Kronos,
and it's schizophrenic, right? It's neither good nor bad. It's something totally beyond it, right? But if we're to think of this in sort of Jungian psychological terms, once one brings forth the archetype of Kronos or Shiva or Saturn or Aquarius is another, Aquarius is associated traditionally with Saturn or Kronos.
We're in the age right now, or the end of the age of Aquarius.
This is it. We're transitioning into this age of Aquarius or Saturn or Kronos or time. But once one sort of elicits that archetype out into the world, they are schizophrenic. You know, they'll do good. They'll do terrible things to try and elicit good within the world. Right. Mm. things like that.
Their version of good may not be your version of good, but it could be what their intent.
Exactly, yeah. They essentially, you know, it's that idea that the means, the ends justify the means. So,
yeah,
I wrote something in the new book. I stated Shiva is related to Saturn, which is the slowest moving among the planets, governs over longer time periods, and is the great karmic reckoner. Saturn appears in Vedic astrology with aspects of Shiva's symbolism, like his trident.
Yeah.
And like Which Shiva.
That trident's everywhere, though, isn't it? I mean,
everywhere.
Yeah.
Well, that was another instance.
It's a natural. Is it a natural pattern?
It is. When you look at the growth of things in the world, it does create that, but it doesn't create the sort of central pillar. It forms like a Y instead.
Yeah.
So it is natural, but it's also, there's a sort of unnaturalness to it. Again, like Saturn, it's schizophrenic, right? And it's, of course, like the androgynous agenda, it's constantly attempting to create an artificial synthesis of everything, not just genders, naturally there is none, right? It's similar to the Tower.
Outrageous to say that this AI agenda, which is coming out right now as we speak, is basically doing the same thing. It's like you can't trust anything to be natural. It could be just artificial. It could be made up. The song, the
man made.
Painting.
Man wants to control nature.
Yeah.
He wants to be God.
Yes.
Homo Deus.
Homo Deus.
Yuval Noah Harare. The little midget sodomite from Israel.
You will know a Harari and Harari. So you will know one.
What's Harari mean? Is that some kind of ancient word, Silas?
Yeah, Harari. Mountain dweller.
Okay.
Yeah. And in Hebrew as well, it can mean the lion, which also links with Shiva. If you go back to Shiva's consort, again, we're talking about this great mother or this mother goddess figure. Shiva's consort or divine wife was Parvati. She was associated with lions or tigers as well, yeah. So it's all, it's all the same idea.
What a great show. Let me just say this. I'm really happy to be on this platform, which I've already did God knows how many words last night on the Fakeologist Network, fakeologist.com. But Sunday night, all Saturday night, whatever, I'll flick around. But having you here, Silas Speaks, with your greater knowledge than I have. I bow before you. I bow before Dave J earlier. He knows more stuff than I do.
You're doing a lot of bowing.
Well, if someone knows more stuff than I do, after 40-something years as a conspiracy theorist, I give credence where credence is due, I be told. And,
credence or credit?
Credit, credence, whatever. I don't care what it means. Either way, it's probably the same word. Anyway, Silas, keep speaking.
It's all, you see these concurrent symbols throughout mythology, so you can trace all of, it's the symbolism that will be their downfall, because you can actually trace all of it. You can trace the eastwards back to essentially the Harappan or Indus Valley civilization, which I do in this new book. And it crops up in this cult of Pashupati. That is as far as I can trace it. But just to digress back, Atlantis also, in Atlantis, the center of that city, which was in a concentric ring pattern. And you see that throughout even the Celtic world too, right? The infinite spiral, right? You see that all the time. And it's speaking about this cyclic eternity, right, of time that's emanated out from the one source. And so in the center of Atlantis was a temple to Poseidon. Now Poseidon, I've mentioned this before, you can translate it out from Attic Greek, and it's a compound, it means Lord of the Earth. or God of this world.
Wow.
So who is the God of this world in the Old Testament?
Satan.
Yahweh. Yeah, well, Yahweh. Oh, Yahweh. Okay. Well, and then in the New Testament, it is Satan. Yes, Satan. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. So okay. that's another parallel I bring out in that book.
Lord of this World, Black Sabbath's greatest song, Be Told Live, Lord of this World. And actually tells you in that song who's the Lord of this world and the evil possessor. And he's your confessor now. Great song by, I wanted that actually be the ending of the show. We did today, but I changed it because we ended up talking about other things. But fantastic, dude. I am really impressed with your knowledge. I love blowing smoke up the right places. And you're doing some good stuff.
I was going to mention as well that just, you know, really quickly, before I jump off, basically, with the AI thing, so you have AI, right? Which is a play on words, actually. So the first play on words is AI, right? So an eye. Would you see that with? You see that with, for example, Annuit Coeptis Novus Ordo Seclorum, the reverse of the Great Seal of the USA. However, Seclorum is, because of Latin and its sort of weird structure and it uses a lot of declensions, which is a change of tense, a change of, sort of proposition, right? When you're who you're directing the language to. So it changes, right? But the primary word is seculum or seclorum or where we get our word for secular from, right? However, this links with, it links with the AI, right, at the top of the pyramid, the capstone that hasn't just, it's not quite been finished yet, right?
No.
Which is what that implies. But, interestingly, AI is actually half of the other word for this deity of time, or, you know, another variation of Shiva in the Roman pantheon, Aeon, where we get our word for Aeon from, right, or epoch. And his epithet was, for the longest time, this was in the Mithraic religion too, Mithras was called this, Seculum, which literally means the generations, the ages. It can also mean, you know, it's speaking to this concept of the eternal nature of time. Mm. And so when you actually look deeper into that Annuit Coeptis Novus Ordo Seclorum, ultimately it's...
Yeah, a new world order. Yeah.
It's not necessarily a new order of the ages. It's a new order of time or under time. So Annuit Coeptis, he favors our undertaking a new order under time or a new order of time. So it's discussing the same deity that they all revere, this god of time.
AI. If you're looking at Kabbalah, is 10. It's A plus I, which is 9, 10. And that's the same. It turns into the X, the logo X. And why would, what's his name, turn his platform from Twitter, which is also biblical, into the logo X? Elon Musk. He changed Musky. Into X. Yeah, X is musky. It smells, and there's a reason for it, but AI adds up to 9. To 10, if you're looking at it in, you know, simple Kabbalah, for sure. So, but not only but what you're talking about and what I'm talking about also blend into the same thing. It's the same thing.
Absolutely.
Out of the right way, Rollo.
Not Rick and Rollo.
No matter what you say,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your preoccupation.
On truthmeets.com.
You can practice every day.
And now, back to the conversation.
The art of conversation.
You're listening to the Be Told, a very, this is official, it may be, may as well be, a Be Told on the 25th of August 2024, and he got Silas Speaks dropping his stuff like a boss, Be Told, with Ab the Fakeologist, and we've got Sud out there somewhere. So he can't get a word in, and I don't blame him. Silas, if you want to finish up, are you going to go soon? Because I'll probably go soon as well. I may go and pop into your fakeologist side if you want,
Ab. All right, you're welcome there always, Rick. Get the conversation going there.
Yeah.
We'll do that. .com.
Okay, we'll let Silas round it up, and then we'll disappear.
Yeah, Silas speaks.
A final thing I'd just like to mention on the AI thing, and this also links with Harari. Again, these are all it's a play on words in Hebrew. So you have Ha'e, which is the heap of ruins, which is mentioned by Yahweh in the Old Testament several times, that he will make this place and that place and the whole world a heap of ruins, right? Not eat a haunt of jackals. It will be totally, it's salted earth and all of this. So the AI, A, just literally A, is the ruin or ruin, which ultimately tells you what AI is probably going to produce within the human species, right?
Yes, the ruin.
They're telling you.
You don't need to write a book anymore or a poem or a song. You can get a ChatGPT version of your suggestion. It will come out looking pretty good for you, possibly. Not for me, but...
It's not good enough for the masses, that's for sure.
Another final thing as well, just came to my mind. There's another, because of Hebrew or ancient Hebrew, and they didn't use diacritics, so you didn't really know how to pronounce it, right? So they used... Some of the words were spelt the same, but they were pronounced differently. Another one is awa or awa, which literally means to bind or to twist, which again links the thread of time. That's something else I saw within Tomar, Portugal, the Convento Cristo there, and also Sintra. Mooring ropes everywhere, right? And you see that in the tarot card too with the hanged man. So just another thing I want to point out, a connection to the time.
Well, yesterday, Silas, I got the train back from Sydney, and I bought the local newspaper, and they had a huge article in the tourist section about this thing called over-tourism. And the main city town that they said is suffering from over-tourism was Sintra. There's so many people turning up at the same time.
Where's Sintra?
It's in Portugal, near
near Lisbon.
They called it near Lisbon, yeah. And they
over
said,
tourism, you got to be kidding me.
Well, that's a new word, and I said I sent it to Armand Rhee, and I said
Armand Rhee,
and I said this is a new word on me, over tourism. So obviously they're trying to demonize tourism and make it.
They don't want travel.
But
no more travel, Rick.
No more travel. Yes, they're demonizing every single thing. So that actually is a thing, it is a thing that's actually happening in the media. They're suggesting there's too many people going to these interesting places, Silas, that it's bad. It's over tourism or over whatever. It's just it's pathetic. Did you see the too many people there? I think you probably did. I'm not sure.
There's a lot of people there, but I wouldn't say it's over tourism. I mean, see, the thing is, Armin stated this, that whole area is almost, it has mythical significance to the government. Mm. He says every other place they will build houses upon, they will tear down, demolish, totally scar the landscape.
But not Sintra.
Sintra is, and also you can see it from anywhere in Lisbon, because essentially it has its own microclimate there. It will always have clouds overhanging it. It's almost like, it reminded me of, back in The Legend of Zelda, The Ocarina of Time, where you'd be traveling across the plains. This is when I was younger, of course, and you would see that mountain there. It would always have that sort of a circling cloud streaming around it. It was similar to that, actually.
Coincidence? I don't think so.
I think that
had significance in that game as well, sacred significance, but yeah, it's interesting.
My kids all played that game. and they can speak that fluently. If you want to discuss Zelda, they know exactly what you're talking about because it was one of their favourite games back in the day, be told, guaranteed. Oh, that's, look, fantastic. If you need to leave, leave, and I'll sign off here, and I'll pop over to Fakeologist for Fakeologist.com for a brief chat. But fantastic. Brilliant. And thank you. Thanks, Velocet, for allowing the platform. And if you want to end it now, all good. I do believe you and your lovely wife are coming on later, but we'll call this a different, completely different show and knock it out whenever you want it. Be told, guaranteed 100%. Asylum Speaks, lovely to talk to you, and you're welcome anytime.
Any you can come time. Over to the Fakeologist Network if you want anytime. The old standby.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, I speak on Fakeologist quite a lot. Yes,
we're
I appreciate that.
No, we're called platform sluts, Silas. Platform sluts. We get about.
You move around.
We can move around. Yeah, for sure.
So you can come over too.
Toby's Freedom's worried. You can't. He obviously isn't on this platform, Ab. How dare you?
Oh, he's not here.
He's not here. Hey, anyway,
I'm here.
He's here. Is he here? We're going to go over to Fakeologist and chat over there. Anyway, guys, fantastic. Silas, as usual, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
No problem.
It's been a pleasure. I'll speak soon, and I'm going to leave too, and I'll say a brief hello over there, and then I'm here as well. Over and out.
Speak soon, man.
Thanks, man.
Bye-bye.